So for the past few weeks, we have been talking about living a life that is holy and pleasing to God. And we mentioned about walking in the Spirit, and we also talked about God desires mercy and not sacrifice, where God looks into the inward motivation. And we also talked about pure religion. And I believe there is actually one verse in the Bible which captures the essence of what we have been talking about. And actually, it's found in the Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And this is what it says: "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" And I believe this verse, especially this phrase, "not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts," captures the essence of what we have been talking about. That's the way to live a holy and pleasing life. That's the way to grow in our Christian life. It's not by our might, nor by our abilities, nor by our powers, but by our trust and our faith in the Spirit of God. And of course, through His help and through His counseling, through His guidance, that we are able to live a life that is holy and pleasing to Him. Remember, we talked about a while back about where the Apostle Paul asked the Galatians, and he said, "Galatians, how did you come into salvation? Did you come into salvation through your works and your righteous works, and you know that you are so good that God needs to save you?" And his answer is, "Of course not. It's not by your works and not by what you did, but instead it's by the grace of God that He gave us His Spirit. It's by us having faith in God and that we are able to receive the Spirit." So likewise, because we started by faith, we also remain in the Christian life by faith. By the way, it's a quick summary of Galatians chapter 3, let's say from verse 1 to verse 14, where Paul was asking Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? And his answer was, we received the Spirit by hearing with faith. And so likewise, have we begun by the Spirit, are we now being made perfect by the flesh? And of course not. Since we've begun by the Spirit, so we also have to be made perfect through faith in God, and through faith in receiving the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit come and lead us. So let's go back to the verse in Zechariah 4:6, where God says it's not by might nor by power, but by His Holy Spirit that we are able to live a holy and pleasing life. And let's look at the context of that wonderful verse. This is actually found in the book of Zechariah. And just to give a brief background of what happened what is going to happen in the book of Zechariah, it's basically, this is written in the time of Zerubbabel. He's the governor of Israel. By the time Israel was already, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah were already overthrown, per se, or were captured by a foreign army, so they don't have their own country anymore. But because of the grace of God, He allowed the Jewish people, or some of the Jewish people, through the commands or the edict of the king, of the reigning king at that time, to allow certain Jewish people to go back to Jerusalem in order for them to rebuild the Holy Temple. And therefore Zerubbabel is, I guess, he is their leader. I believe he's actually from the royal line of King David. So he brought a whole bunch of people back to from wherever they were in captivity, probably Babylon or somewhere else. And then he came back and was trying to rebuild the city and trying to rebuild the Holy Temple. And during this time, it's they met a lot of hardship, and they met a lot of tough situations that they were really depressed, they weren't doing really well. So God sends many prophets to them, and one of those prophets is actually Zechariah. And this is sort of what God is telling Zerubbabel through the prophet Zechariah, of how to rebuild the temple. And if we actually go back and read that, chapter, it says in Zechariah 4:6, so he answered and said to me, basically the angel of the Lord came into Zechariah and showed him a vision, and this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, meaning the governor. So, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, in Zechariah 4:9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, his hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And he keeps on going and giving a prophetic word. However, we just want to focus on, you know, this is what God says. This is basically God telling Zerubbabel how to finish the temple that he started to build. It's not by trusting in their own might and not by trusting in their own power, but by the Spirit of God, by trusting in God. Of course, that doesn't mean that, you know, he can just sit back and you know, the stones will and the bricks will make itself and then will start rebuilding by itself. No, but what God is saying is that, you know, you should trust in Him and not trust in your own abilities or not trust in foreign powers to come and help you. But when you put your faith and your trust in God, that's how you rebuild the temple, and that's how the temple will be or should be rebuilt. So if we actually follow this line of thinking and bring it into the New Testament time, we can see that actually in the New Testament, the believers themselves, the body of the believers, become the new temple of God. You know, in the Old Testament, where the presence of God usually dwells is, you know, symbolized through the Ark of the Covenant, which is found in the temple of God. However, in the New Testament and in many passages that we will see later, it shows us that actually the body, the Christians themselves, becomes the new dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, or in a sense becomes the new temple of God. We can see that actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me just turn to there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And this is what the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So Paul is saying in the New Testament, instead of a man-made structure of wood and gold, the believer himself or herself becomes the temple of God, where the Spirit of God dwells in us. So this, you know, in a sense, it's sort of like an individual thing where you know, the person himself becomes a temple of God. Every believer, because when God sends His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, and therefore, in a sense, we have become the temple of God. But that's not the only sense of the new temple of God. So as believers come together in worship, the whole church is also being built to become a temple of God. And we can see that idea in Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22. So in Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we can see that in the New Testament, there's a new idea of what the temple of God is. It's not a man-made structure of wood and gold and wonderful jewels, but rather it's the individual person. And as the individual person grows up and you know, is growing in the Spirit, and they come together with other believers who are also being built and being molded by God, that together they also form a holy temple, you know, and where the Spirit of God can dwell and manifest His glory through us. So the idea of being built, the holy temple being built, not by human might or abilities, and not by human powers or human strength or human wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit, by God's Holy Spirit, still stands. In the Old Testament, it's wood, gold, maybe bronze, and all this stuff. Even those have to be under the guidance and the control of the Holy Spirit. How much so in the New Testament, when it's each individual believer and together as the corporate body of Christ, that we also cannot build this new temple of God by our own abilities, by our own strength, by our own wisdom, but we have to be built together by the Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but by God's Holy Spirit. And it is clear when we start trusting in our own abilities that we are unable to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God. We have already shown that in the past few times when we were talking about the other passages in Micah 6:8, in Hosea 6:6, and in Galatians 5. And if a few weeks, 3 weeks ago. But there's another passage actually in Romans 7 that clearly shows the inability of the person who trusts in themselves, in their own ability to fulfill the standard that God has, the holy standard that God has placed or has required from the whole world. So let's go to Romans 7, and let's just go jump down to Romans 7 verse 13 and to the end of the chapter. So Romans 7 verse 13, this is what the Bible writes. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Basically, the background of this is that Paul is claiming that the law is holy, and the law is the law of God is good and just. However, because of our sin nature, we are unable to fulfill the holy requirements that the law has. So let's go to Romans 7 verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to a law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25 is basically the whole essence of this chapter. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So what this seems to be a struggle that Paul is writing about, the person who is trying to live a holy and pleasing life based upon their own abilities, based upon their own will, where Paul says, I will to do good but I can't, and I will not to do evil, but however I keep doing that. There's also a struggle for the person who wants to fulfill the holy law based upon his abilities, his strength, his wisdom, and eventually they are unable to fulfill the whole law because there's the sin nature within us, where Paul says it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. The sin nature is really strong, and it's basically the old nature of man. We see the sin nature when Adam decided to rebel against God, and you know, to eat the forbidden fruit that God says you're not supposed to eat. And that rebellion, that rebellious attitude has, you know, been passed on to all his descendants, meaning that every human being right now has that rebellious attitude within us, you know, always wanting to rebel against the law of God, always wanting to do evil per se, and not to do good. However, in our mind, you know, we usually know that you know, there's something that is better that we should be doing, but our will is just not strong enough. By itself, it's not strong enough to fulfill what God has commanded us to be living. So what's the answer? You know, and it seems that indeed, you know, as we think about it, you know, we will agree with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 verse 24 that, oh, we are indeed a wretched man, because the things that we know are good and we want to do it, but because of the sin nature, we are unable to fulfill it. And yet the things that we know that are not good, many times we are unable to resist the pull of the sin nature within us, that we actually keep doing it and repeating it. And I believe the answer is actually found in just the next verse in Romans 8, verse 1, where it says, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So once again, we go back to the whole idea of relying upon the Holy Spirit, and not by human abilities and human wisdom and human strength, because there is a limit to the human abilities, there's a limit to the human strength, there's the limit to a human will, that even you will to do good, but you're not able to do it. The only way to overcome the sin nature is to live according to the Spirit, is to let the Spirit come and lead us, and for us to constantly agree and renew our mind to what the Spirit tells us to do, to renew our minds through, you know, the Holy Scripture, because the Holy Scripture is truth, and the Spirit comes to teach us into all truth, including what is written in the Bible. And let's keep on reading in Romans 8, verse 1 through 15, because I believe that's the answer for you know, Paul's cry, you know, who is going to come and save me from this wretched body of mine? "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That's Romans 8, 1. Romans 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Romans chapter 8, verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And, you know, Romans 8 makes it very clear that once again, there is the two ways of living. One is to live according to the Spirit, and the other is to live according to the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit are no longer under the condemnation of the law, or no longer under are no longer under the consequences that being unable to fulfill the law will bring, which is actually death. But those who are thinking or living according to the flesh, those who set their minds on the flesh will think on the things of the flesh. And those who are living according to the flesh, to be carnally minded is, you know, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So someone who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and believe that, you know, on the cross Jesus exchanged his righteous life, his righteousness with our sins, you know, and the consequences of sins, and it was exchanged on the cross where Jesus received the full penalty of our sin towards God and our inability to fulfill the law, and, you know, and in exchange we receive the his righteous life and all the forgiveness that God brings to us. In order for us to remain in that, you know, pure and holy and acceptable life, we have to live our life based upon faith in God and not based upon our own abilities, our works, and our wisdom and everything else. Because it's not about us. It's not our might. It's not our power or our ability. But by God's Spirit are we able to build the temple of God, which we are, and which together as the corporate body of Christ we are also hoping to build up. So once again, I just want to encourage us to trust in God, put our faith in God and not in our own abilities, not in our own power, because, you know, that's the way that God has ordained how, you know, Christians should live. It's not by might nor by power, but by God's Holy Spirit are we able to fulfill and live according to the way God wants us to, and are we able to receive and apprehend all the blessings that He wants to give us by trusting in His Spirit, by walking in His Spirit, by loving Him and loving others. So let's end this time with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this time, and Lord, thank You for reminding us it's not by might nor by power, but by Your Holy Spirit. The same way it is true during the time of Zerubbabel, when he returned and built the temple of God, Lord, it is still the same way that we are building the current temple of God, which is our own bodies, because, Lord, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And likewise, it's also the way that we should build the church, because, Lord, as each individual believers build up our spiritual life, and that we are together being fitted and molded to build up the whole body of Christ, the church. So, Lord, I am asking, Lord, for everyone, Lord, including myself, that Your Spirit will come and just lead us and guide us. And, Lord, that You will give us ears to hear. And, Lord, You will give us a heart to be able to listen to Your Word. And not only to listen, but to love the words that comes from You. To love You and Your words and Your commands. And also to have the boldness to go out and to fulfill what You have told us to do, to have the boldness to go out and to preach Your word, because, Lord, that's Your desire for everyone to come to know You. And Lord, I ask that, Lord, You will open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings upon the people who loves You and who desires to walk in the Spirit and who desires to put all their trust and all their faith in You. Holy Spirit, we thank You, and we ask, Lord, for Your presence right now, and, Lord, for us to feel Your presence among us, that each and every day we can have a communion with You, and to be able to talk with You and to listen, to hear You talk to us. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.